doctrine today is found in the second book of Kings, part of the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th chapter. We left off speaking to you last week about the zeal that Jehu had for the Lord. I explained a little how many people have a zeal for the Lord, just like Jehu, but it is not a true zeal. It doth not come from the heart. I explained what it is when God gives us a true zeal for himself and for his worship and for his word. Then we seek the glory of God and nothing else. And now, this afternoon, we are to speak about Jehu coming into Samaria and serving Baal. Jehu, he destroyed everyone that was related to Ahab. He left none alive. He fulfilled the commandment of God in this respect. And God had it in his heart that the house of Ahab was to be destroyed. And Jehu accomplished this. And now Jehu, he spake unto the people and said, Ahab, he served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. And therefore he sent out throughout all the land of Israel and called for all the priests and all the servants and all the people that worshiped Baal to come up, because he called a solemn assembly. And he said, let none of them be wanting. Whoever would be wanting, they would be slain. But Jehu, he did it in subtlety. He did it with the purpose of destroying all the worshipers of Baal. When this proclamation went out throughout the land of Israel, there were plenty of people that were happy. You know, Jehoram that had reigned before Jehu, he had not worshipped Baal like Ahab. But there were many that did worship Baal. And the kings that had conspired and had become kings in the place of those who they had slain, he usually followed them in their practices of idolatry. And now Jehu, he sent out this command as if he also was going to worship Baal. And many of the people, they said, well, now we have a king who is just like us. And they all came up to this solemn assembly. Jehu, he wasn't right in doing this, because he had no intention of worshiping Baal. In the first place, it was a lie. In the second place, he enticed the people to come there to worship what? Idolatry, which was a great sin. But God had said that those that worship idols should be destroyed. And therefore, what he did was wrong, and yet he did it that God would be glorified thereby. And finally, he had all these people that worship Baal in the house of Baal. And he set guards outside of the house, and he told these men, now listen, if you let any of these men go that we got inside of this house, your life will be for theirs. And he went in with Jehonadab, and he offered a sacrifice, a burnt sacrifice. And when he had ended this sacrifice, before he had ended it, he had questioned whether any of the Lord's people were there. He first wanted to make sure that there was none of the Lord's servants among these Baal worshippers. He only said this to the worshippers of Baal as if he wanted nobody else but those that worship Baal there, because they would profane the worship if they didn't worship Baal. But there were none of the Lord's servants there. And therefore, he gave commandment after he had offered up a burnt offering that all these guards should go in and slay them. What bloody work this was. There weren't so many worshippers of Baal as there were in the time of Elijah. For then there were 450 prophets and 400 that served the groves. But the house of Baal was full from one end to the other end. And these guards went in and slew them all and threw them out. And after they had now destroyed all the worshippers of Baal, they went and destroyed the temple, they destroyed the image of Baal, and all the shrines and all the little images that they had, they burnt them to powder. And the city where the priests and the servants of Baal lived and the houses in which they lived, they destroyed them also. And thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel, it says. But this was a good thing in one way. He destroyed idolatry. According to the commentary, it never was revived anymore of the worship of Baal in Israel. Remember, when we speak about Israel, there were two parts of Israel. One was Israel and the other part was Judah. This part, Israel, usually had wicked and ungodly kings. And now no more was the Baal worship revived in this part of Israel. Jehu then accomplished a good work in destroying this idolatry. But the people still worshipped the two calves that Jeroboam had set in Dan and in Bethel. Jehu did not go up to these places and destroy these, but he even worshipped these idols. Jehu, he did not walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel, as he should. Jehu then, it was a man that was gifted to do these things, and was also rewarded by God for doing them, because God spake to him and said that the fourth generation of Jehu would worship and be on the throne of Israel. This then was a blessing for Jehu and his posterity. But for Jehu himself, he had no grace in his heart. He had no love to God and to his service. He did not have the law of God written on his heart, for he did not walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel. It's sad to read this, my hearers. What a mercy it would have been had he went to Dan and to Bethel and threw those idols down and called the people back to the true worship of God. But he didn't. He worshipped those idols himself. Seeing this man, how many are like Jehu? They have a zeal for the Lord. Outwardly, they do many things that are good. And we marvel at what they have over for God and for his service. But they are like Jehu. They never had the law of God written on the fleshly tables of their hearts. Follow them, those that call themselves even Christians. Follow them in their daily lives. What do? They serve the world. They serve sin. And they are the people that are honored by others. But they have no true love for God in their hearts. They still serve Satan. And with all what they have, if God does not convert them, they will perish forever and ever. What a mercy if any of us have had in this life God write his law on the table of our hearts, and we have become so guilty in the sight of God, and that sin has become sin unto us, that we could not go on any longer in it, that we were given to return back to God and serve him and worship him. And now we find after Jehu had performed all this, then we come into the next chapter, and Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, when she heard that her son was dead, she went and arose and destroyed all the seed well. And this woman, she was a daughter of Amri. She had been married to Joram, a son of Jehoshaphat. And this woman, when she heard what Jehu had done, he had destroyed the whole house of Ahab. And in anger to God and in wrath to to him, she arose and destroyed all the sea dwellers. But Jehoshaphat, the sister to Ahaziah, as she stole one of the king's sons and hid him in the bedchamber of one of the maids in the temple of the Lord. As she took this young babe and rescued it from the terror and from the murder of Athaliah. And it was in the house of the Lord 6 years, hid there all this while. This woman then, in her rage and in her anger against God, because he had destroyed the house of Ahab, she decided to destroy the line out of which the Messiah would come. The line that came from David, from Solomon, and from Rehoboam. She slew all that were related to them. But God rescued this little child. There was only one child left. In this one child's life, there resided that the Messiah would still come into the world. This woman tried, by the instrumentality of the devil, to make all the promises of God naught. She thought that she would fix God for doing what he did to the house of Ahab. How foolish she was, and how fruitless was her design. For God, he took care of this one child. And we find that he was hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. The commentary said he was hid by faith, just like Moses. He was hid too from the destruction of Pharaoh, who sought to have him killed. All the children were to be killed at that time. But Moses was hid, and so was this young child hid. And we find that this woman, Jehoshaphat, she was married to a God-fearing man called Jehoiada. He was the priest. What a good providence of God this was, for she had a wonderful opportunity to hide this child in the temple, because Athaliah, she did not come to the temple of the Lord. And therefore, this woman took care of this child 6 years. And Athaliah, she reigned over the land. Ahaziah, her son, had went down to visit Joram, who had been ill, and he had been slain by Jehu with Joram, and therefore Athaliah reigned in his stead. Her reign was a wicked reign. It was a reign of terror. She brought in the worship of Baal, where Jehu had destroyed it in Israel. She again began it in Judah. And she favored this worship, she supported it, and she upheld it. And now 6 years she reigned in this way. And in the seventh year, we read that Jehoiada, he called all the rulers and the guards together into the house of the Lord. And he made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them that they wouldn't say anything to anybody. And he brought forth this young child, Joash, and showed him to the rulers and to the hundreds, the captains of hundreds, and proved to them that this child was a son of Ahaziah, and that he was the legitimate heir to the kingdom. And when they heard this, they all marveled and saw what God had done. And he made an agreement with them that upon a certain day they would take this boy and make him king in the place of Athaliah. He would then cause a revolution to take place. He would upset Athaliah from the throne and put this boy in the place of her. And they agreed with him. And he made an agreement with them that they should keep all the avenues that went to the temple guarded, so that on that day when they were going to make him king, and nobody could come into the temple unless they were questioned by these guards. These guards, they were the Levites and the scribes. They weren't military men, because Jehoiada, he took weapons out of the temple of the Lord and put these weapons in their hands. They weren't accustomed to having weapons in their hands. They got these weapons out of the magazine that was in of the temple due to David, who had conquered so many enemies and had gathered all these weapons. And Abel came to the temple that day, and he brought forth this child. 7 years of age he was, Joash. This was the first time that the people seen this boy. And they made him king. They crowned him with a gold band around his head. And they put the testimony in his hand. They put the Bible in his hand. And he was commanded to read the Bible every day of his life and to rule the people according to the word of God. And then they took him and they anointed him to be king. Anointing him meant that the Spirit of God would give him the qualifications to rule and to reign according to the word that was in his hand. And then the people all shouted, "God save the king." They clapped their hands, they blew the trumpets, and the people were happy because they had found a real descendant to the kingdom. And they were glad that this Athaliah was dethroned because they were sick of her reigning over them. And now when she heard this Athaliah, all the noise going on in the temple, well, then she came to the temple, to the people that were there. And when she came into the temple and she seen this young boy standing by the pillar as the custom was where the king stood, and then she cried out in fear, in rage, in anger. She cried out, "Treason, treason." If anybody was a treacherous woman and had any right to be killed, then she was, because she had likewise done the very same thing in taking the throne. She had no right to be the ruler over the land. If anyone had a right, it was Jehoshaphat, the woman that took this child and hid it in the temple. And now Josephus says she cried out in a rage, "Kill him, kill him." She didn't want him to live. She wanted to be queen. She wanted to rule herself. But Jehoiada, he commanded the guards that they shouldn't slay her in the temple. He didn't want any blood shed in the temple. So she ran away from the temple and went back to the king's house by the way that the horses enter into the king's house, and there they caught up with her and they slew her. She then died. And nothing is said about her burial or anything of the kind. She was a wicked woman and she was an idolater. And God issued this judgment against her that she was slain in all her sins. And now they took this young king. And Jehoiada, this man of God, he called the people together and made a covenant with the people and with the king that they should become the Lord's people. And the king with the people of the land entered into a solemn covenant with Jehoiada before God that they would be the Lord's people. Oh, my hearers, what a blessing it was for Israel that they had such a God-fearing priest, Jehoiada. This man, he had so much love to God in his soul and so much love for the people. And when he saw that God had granted them a king, then he wanted these people likewise to join with him and become the Lord's people so that they would again institute the true worship of God and that Israel would serve God faithfully and uprightly. And these people agreed to this. Oh, what a mercy it is, my hearers. When I was studying this, I thought, I wish that I was a Jehoiada and that I could speak to my Bible class and say, "Come, let us enter into a solemn covenant that we may be the Lord's people, that we may serve him, that we may love him and fear him." As Jehoiada did with the children of Israel, he desired this from his heart, that this would take place. And if this takes place, in your life, my hearers, when you by the grace of God are given to enter into a covenant with the Lord, and when you write inside in your heart, I am the Lord's, then there's a solemn change takes place in the person's life. Oh, what a blessing if this has taken place in your life. Then you have become, by grace, a person that loves God, that fears Him, and that desires to serve Him and to worship Him in truth and in uprightness. And this man, Jehoiada, he gathered the guards together, and they took the king from the temple of the Lord, and they brought him into the king's house, and they set him upon the throne. Where Athaliah had reigned, and there came this young boy, 7 years of age, and they set him on the throne. How small he must have looked on this big throne. This little boy, he was unable to reign, to rule, to judge, but he had a good counselor. He had a good guide, namely Jehoiada, and Jehoiada had a good God to go to. And this young boy, it is written of him to his honor, that as long as Jehoiada counseled him, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Oh, thinking of that, I thought what a blessing it was for Jehoiada and also for this young boy. Oh, parents that have children, oh, how difficult it is, especially when they get a little older, to have them obey you. And this young boy obeyed Jehoiada in everything. And if you are a God-fearing parent, and when you speak to your child and warn them of sin and of the wicked ways of others, and you desire them to walk in the ways of the Lord, and you find they do not listen, they do not give ear, how many parents must say, that is the sad case. They break the parents' hearts, many of them, by being disobedient, not listening. Have you children that are obedient? Thank the Lord that you have. What a mercy if they still listen to you. This young boy listened to Jehoiada. And God prospered the kingdom. It was a blessing for Israel that this man Jehoiada ruled and reigned in this way. And now as this young lad grew up, my hearers, we find that he took notice that the temple of the Lord was in a ragged condition. There were many breaches in it. And he commanded the priest, according to the commandment of Moses, to go out and to collect money so that they could repair the breaches that were in the temple. And now, this went on for a long time, but nothing was done. According to the Bible, it was in the 23rd year of his reign that he called Jehoiada and said, "Why are not the breaches of the temple repaired? Have I not commanded you? Stop collecting any money anymore." And then they decided that they would put a chest at the gate of the temple, and he told them to bore a hole in the chest, and when the people came in, they were to drop their money into this chest. And when now this chest was nearly full, then they would take the money out and put it in bags, and then they would give this money to the carpenters, to the masoners, and they went ahead and began to repair the temple. Then it proceeded as Joash desired it. See here, my hearers, the love, the affection that Joash had for the house of the Lord. You know, he had been living there for 6 years when he was a child, and now when he grew up and he seen it in that condition, he desired that it should be repaired. And he seen to it that it was. Now there are many people that likewise are like Joash. They give of the abundance that God has given them unto the house of the Lord. They love to see it beautiful. I do too. And I don't mind giving either. But that is insufficient, my hearers, that we like to see the temple kept up in repairs is good, and that we have something over for it is good too. But Joash, I don't think, had anything over for the service and for the worship of God in the temple. All the days of Jehoiada, he went in there and worshiped him with him, but it was not from his heart. See, we can have this too, my hearers, that we have everything over for the house of God, but we have nothing over for the worship that is going on in this house. You know, it would be better if you went into a barn and you had something over for the worship of God than for the temple. Oh, there are some listening to me that may be able to follow me in this. There are some who have experienced in their lifetime that they had such a love for the worship of God. All time was when God came into their heart. And then they were separated from the world, and they were given to come to the house of the Lord. And then they received ears to hear and a heart to receive. But then when someone prayed, they prayed along with them. Or when they sang with so much life and so much feeling. And then when the minister got up to preach, they were all ears. When it was reading, they were all ears. Oh, they had such love for the service of God. There was probably a time in your life that it was so good for you in the house of God that you wished that the minister would continue to preach, that he wouldn't say amen. Your soul was like a watered garden. Did you ever have anything like that in your life, my hearers? You know of any time like that? Or that the worship of God was everything for you? Or that it was with you like it was with the saints of old? You know, David, I quoted this in the consistory this morning in prayer. He had such a desire for the house of God. He's one day in thy courts is better than 1,000, he says. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, he says, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Have you ever had such a love for God's house, for his word, for his truth, for his servants, for his people, for himself? What a mercy, my hearers, if you know something about this. Let me go a little further. Is it that way yet? How is it now? I hear one saying, oh, if I had to tell you how it is now, oh, I'm ashamed of myself. I never thought that it would get that way. I never thought that all those holy and lovely feelings that I had in my soul towards God and towards his worship would die away. I never thought I would get like I am, that I got so that I didn't even care whether they go up the house of God anymore. So dead, so lifeless, so prayerless, I have nothing under the truth anymore. And I begin to doubt and to think, hey, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I deceive myself. Would I be like I am if I was a Christian? Would I be so like that under all the means of grace? All my hearers, it's painful to learn to know yourself. It's painful to learn to know what a creature you are, but so necessary. Shall there be a place made for Jesus in your very soul? And now this young man had so much affection for the outward temple, but nothing for the inward. And now, after the temple was restored and put back into shape, then we find that this man Joash, he was dwelling as king in the land of Israel. Jehoiada, he was his counselor, and he instructed him in every way. And now it came to pass that this man Jehoiada, he became very old. The scripture says he became 130 years of age. And he became feeble, he became weak. Not many people live, my hearers, to be 130 years of age. thinking of what we read in Psalm 91, it was fulfilled in the life of this man Jehoiada. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a mercy if God gives us a long life and shows us his salvation. God had restricted the age of people to 80 years when Moses was living. And here we have a man that went to 130 years. He must have been about 100 years old when this young boy became king. He was of a great age then already. And now this man, Jehoiada, he died. And when he died, they buried him in the places of the kings. He was honored in his death. God seemed to it that he was, because he was an upright man, and he had everything over for Israel and for the God of Israel. And they buried him in the places of the kings. Maybe they put on the top of his stone that was over his grave, this man had everything over for God and for Israel. What a blessing, my hearers, it was for this man, Joash. Oh, if he had only followed in the footsteps of this Jehoiada, then he would have been honored too when he died. But he did not. It's remarkable that all the while that Jehoiada lived, he obeyed him. It's a wonder he didn't arise inwardly and say, well, you're too old. You ain't going to instruct me anymore. I don't want no part of you. Go. No, and he waited until he died. And now when he died, then the princes came to this man, Joash. And they made obeisance to him, and they put something before him which he consented to do. What was that? They wanted him to restore back the worship of the idols and of the groves. Now you would say, how is it possible that he would consent to something like this? He had been so instructed, I am sure, by Jehoiada, that those that worshiped idols were to be destroyed, they were to be killed. And now here he falls in with these princes and consents to have these idols restored, the groves and the idols that were in the land before. And now when God seen this, God became angry with Joash because he did this, and God seen the sin that he was guilty of. And God came down in his anger and in his wrath upon Judah and upon Jerusalem, it says. We don't read what God did. But God in mercy sent to them prophets. And these prophets spake unto them, but they would not listen to these prophets. It is written in the word that this was the cause of the ruin of the Jewish people, because they would not listen to the prophets that God sent unto them, but they shed their blood, and the blood of these prophets called for the judgment of God upon the Jewish race. And now, not listening to the prophets, God sent to them Zechariah, a son of Jehoiada, a good man. And this man, he stood above the people in the court of the temple. And he spake unto them in the name of the Lord. The Spirit of God came upon him, it says. And he spoke to the people and told them that they could not prosper, and that God would forsake them because they had forsaken God. And this must have been told to the king, Joash, what this man Zechariah had done. And he gave orders to have him slain. He conspired against him, it says. And when he was standing before the people in the court of the temple, they made a rush upon him, and they stoned him, and they killed him. This then was the gratitude the thankfulness that Joash showed to Jehoiada. And the Jews say there were seven sins in what these people did. In the first place, they killed a prophet. They slew a priest. They done this in the court of the temple, a sacred place. And they likewise did this on the Sabbath day. And they did it likewise on the Day of Atonement. But this was a horrible thing, to kill this man who came in the name of the Lord to them and spoke to them. And when they slew him, he said unto the people that God would see to it and would regard it. He did not speak this as a threat, did not speak this as vengeance upon them, but he spoke it in prophecy, that God would regard what they had did in shedding innocent blood. And now this man Joash, this king, what shall we say of him? Most of his life he had been instructed and had been guided by a God-fearing man. And you know, we as creatures, we think a person is really blessed that has somebody like Jehoiada to counsel them and to guide them. But take notice, my hearers, irrespective of whether we are God-fearing or not, our counsel and our guidance cannot put grace in the heart of any individual. It's God that must put grace in our souls. And this was what lacking in the heart of Joash, for it reveals itself now in his life what he did. This what he did, God visited him for. Next week, the Lord willing, we will pick up our subject from this point. Our time is gone. That's all for today.